Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Shartok. Joining us today for Medical Monday is Dr. Dr. Thea Bordenave Sandy. She's board-certified specialist in osteopathic manipulative medicine, and with her own practice in Saratoga, In Saratoga Springs, she has experience treating infants and children as well as adults, and her practice has treated a range of conditions and ailments, including chronic neck and back pain, vertigo, which is very interesting. She had a lot of vertigo patients, migraines, sports injuries, and more. Dr. Bordenave Sandy earned her degree from the New York College of Osteopathic Medicine and completed her training at St. Barnabas Hospital in the Bronx. She's a member of the American Osteopathic Association, the American Academy of Osteopathy, and the New York Osteopathic Medical Society, and the Osteopathic Cranial Academy. Dr. Bordenave Sandy, welcome to Medical Monday.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you know, you are obviously very accomplished in this. Tell us a little bit, and we'll get to the phone calls, which are already coming in, but about DO versus MD.
The biggest difference has to do with the medical school training. So when you go to an MD medical school versus a DO medical school. And really the only difference is that when you go to a DO medical school, you get training in hands-on manipulation as well as learning everything else you learn in medical school.
Right. So answer me this, Riddler. What is the difference between what you do in terms of manipulation and what, you know, some of the other folks do out there who don't have a medical degree?
Right. I get that. I get asked that question a fair amount. The differences have to do with basically two things. The first being education.
Sure.
So
you have a total medical education, just like every MD does.
Right. And I went through residency and training with attending physicians to hone my skills in what I do. And the second difference has to do with the scope of what I treat. So, for example, a chiropractor will typically treat the spine. Sometimes they'll treat the extremities depending on what their training has been.
Yeah.
I'll treat the whole body from toe to head.
Right. Well, it's sort of similar. I'm just making this up now, but it's sort of similar to what the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist are. Psychologist doesn't have a medical degree. They can't prescribe, but they know a lot. They know a great deal. So maybe there's some similarity there.
There are definitely some similarities. Yes.
Okay. So you've done extraordinary things in your life. I think we should point out to people that before you went to medical school for 1 year, you were an accomplished ballroom dancer.
Yes, I took a little time between undergrad and medical school to pursue a little bit of dancing.
But you went on the floor with a partner.
Yes,
and
I
competed
did.
And did all of that stuff.
The whole thing.
Do you ever think you took down the wrong road, that maybe you should have stayed with that?
No, I'm very happy with what I chose. It was definitely a calling for me to do this.
And are you doing any of the ballroom dancing anymore?
Unfortunately not. I haven't for a long time.
Yeah. Well, have you told your fiancé that he was required to do that once you were married?
No, I haven't.
Okay. We'll go to Ellen in Buckland, Massachusetts. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead. Talk to Thea. Oh,
okay. So I have a friend, 30-year-old active man, who about a year ago sprained his ankle very badly. And then developed bursitis on the opposite side from overuse. He has been seen by an osteopath where he lives locally, which is not nearby, for quite a few months, more than 6-8 months. And now apparently the pain has moved to his sits bones, his ischial tuberosities. It's a burning pain, very sensitive to touch. And I'm wondering, could it be something systemic going on since it moved, or what do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, Ellen, what we never do here is to diagnose over the phone. You can't do that. But Thea, if you would you describe the cyst bone? I have no idea. I never heard that before.
The cyst bones. Yes. Hi,
yes,
Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen,
for calling in. The cyst bones, or the ischial tuberosities, are the bones that you sit on.
Yeah.
Yes. So okay. If you stick your hands underneath your legs, that you'll feel that right there.
Right.
That's an interesting question, Ellen. And I think the best way for me to answer for you is that when you have some sort of an issue with your feet, that they are the basis for your legs, correct?
Right.
So it's very easy to then develop some sort of misalignment going
right.
all the way up the legs into the pelvis, which it
yep.
sounds like this is what's happening to your friend.
Right.
I wouldn't jump to say that it's something systemic. I would just say that it's something that has not been resolved enough and throughout the whole body to make a big enough difference for your friend.
Right.
Any follow-up?
So now you treat where it's moved to. In other words, I guess you're wanting to align the body in general, no matter where the symptoms are. Is that what you're...
That's correct. And
yeah.
That brings up something that I would love to get across, which is that when you get a treatment from an osteopath, it should be the whole body.
Yeah.
Because you need to make sure that everything is really lined up. Because if you just treat the feet and you don't take care of the rest of the pelvis,
right.
you can end up having some sequela down the road.
Right. And
where did all this start, Dorothea?
Where did all of what start?
Well, where did all this alignment stuff start? Did it start when man and woman got up on their feet?
Yes, that definitely has a lot to do with it. That is correct.
Yeah. Ellen, anything else?
Okay, I guess that's it. Thank you very much. Okay.
Let's go to Jim in Matamoros. So your chances of getting in, folks, right now are terrific. Towards the end of the show, you won't get in. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Jim in Matamoros, you're on.
Could you speak about plantar fasciitis and why it takes tendons so long to heal?
Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling in. One of the issues with tendons and really the foot in general is that there isn't a lot of blood supply. And so when there's an injury, your blood is what is going to bring in any kind of cells that are going to help with the healing process in your body. And so if you don't have an excellent blood supply in certain areas like tendons, it can take a little bit longer for your foot to heal. In the case of plantar fasciitis, there can be a number of reasons why you actually have it.
Could you remind everybody, Thea, what plantar fasciitis
is? Yes, I'd be happy to do that. So plantar fasciitis has to do with connective tissue. So basically, if you took saran wrap and put it underneath the bottom of your foot, that would be the plantar fascia. And plantar fasciitis is when that fascia becomes inflamed for whatever reason. In several cases that I have come across in treating people, a lot of it has to do with making sure that all of the bones in the feet are lined up a little bit better. And that will frequently take care of a lot of the issue. Does that answer your question, Jim?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Jim, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. There's a point that we have two calls. I want to get to them really quickly, but there's a point in the greatest film ever made, Mr. Roberts, in which Roberts, who's at medical school, is trying to tell Pulver why he could be a hero. And you know how they hit you on the knee and then you get this reflex?
Yes. Okay.
So he tries it a couple of times and nothing happens. The guy, and he says, never go in a B-29, he says to the guy. In other words, he couldn't be a hero because he has no reflex. Sort of giving him, why don't people have those reflexes?
if you don't have reflexes or if they're slow, it can be from a number of issues. If they're a little bit slower, it can be actually a thyroid issue. Some people who have hypothyroidism have it's called sluggish reflexes.
That's interesting. Okay, we're going to Alice in Kingston. No, we're not. Alice, you stay right there. We're going to take a 7-second break and we'll be right back.
Support comes from Nathan LaTower Hospital, Gloversville, New York, now offering new MRI technology with silent MRI scans and feet-first exams, NLH.org. Unusual wedding rings and more in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, specializing in wedding and engagement rings with a variety of jewelry for special occasions or everyday wear, unusualweddingrings.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting The Lone Bellow in concert May 23rd and Jim Shaw in the galleries, massmocha.org. And from Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts, a college prep boarding and day school for students with learning disabilities and ADD, featuring a 5-week summer session, ehs1.org, for information.
One free phone left. They're lining up to talk to our wonderful doctor. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Thea Bornave-Sandy, board-certified specialist in osteopathic manipulative medicine, getting a lot of calls, and I'm not surprised. Let's go to Alice in Kingston. One free phone open. Let's go. Alice in Kingston, you're on.
Thank you. Doctor, I was wondering if you could speak to if working with an osteopath might help with some relief with two different conditions. One is tinnitus and the other is neuralgia parestheticus.
Hi, Alice. Thank you for calling in. For tinnitus, yes, it can certainly help. I've treated several people with tinnitus. Most often what I observe is that the temporal bones, which are the bones right in your ear, basically, right around your ear, are frequently turned a little bit, and they need to be adjusted, and that will often cause some degree of relief from the tinnitus. Yes. As for the
second... And what is tinnitus again?
Tinnitus is ringing in the ears, which... For the people who I have seen, it drives them crazy, and they are willing to do anything to get some relief from it. It's difficult being in a quiet room because all you hear is this buzzing in your ears. Mm. And the second condition that you asked about was neuralgia parestheticus?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. Yes. That frequently has to do with basically adjusting the pelvis and the sacrum. They will get a little bit too torqued, and that will end up putting pressure on the nerves and cause that pain running down the legs.
So how do you do that? I mean, how do you adjust them?
That's a good question, Ellen. I'm glad you asked that. There are a number of different ways in which you can treat. The way that I treat is something called balanced ligamentous tension, and not BLT like a sandwich. And what that is a very gentle way of working with the ligaments around each joint. So, for example, a finger joint.
Yeah.
So your knuckle. You move it around. It moves very well in one direction, not so well in another direction. So what I do is I bring that joint into we call it a freedom of motion. So into the area in which it moves very easily. Mm. And I wait. And I wait for some signals from the body for that joint to reset itself and for the ligaments to become balanced around that joint again.
In one sit down? In other words, this waiting you're talking about, is it 6 weeks or is it right then?
There is typically a certain amount of change that happens in the treatment.
Right away.
Right, exactly. Depending on the person, how healthy they are, things like that. But the treatment does tend to continue for a few days afterwards. So I will have people come in the next week and they'll say to me, oh, it took about 2 days, but then I really started feeling better.
So is it ever a question of the ball joint or something being out of place. You know, is that Murray the dog, our wonderful little Westie, had that recently and was treated by our wonderful vet and been running around ever since. So it's been great. So you can do that manipulation. That's wonderful. Alice, anything else on that?
No, thank you very much. That's great information. And will you be announcing again your contact information
later?
Ahead.
Go ahead. Do it now.
Sure. My office is in Saratoga Springs. It's called Saratoga Osteopathy, and the number is 518-587-0801.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
Thank you for Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. 1-800-348-2551. There's one free phone. Nope, there are no free phones right now. We'll go to John in Liberty. Whoops. That's off. And John in Liberty, you're on.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Thanks, doctor. I've got an ongoing pain in one of my elbows, and I've noticed that the bone that sticks out is probably of half an inch longer on that elbow than my other elbow, and this has been for like 2 months. I've had this pain, and I've tried everything. I was just wondering what might cause such a situation.
Hi, John. That is a very interesting question.
Now let me say one more thing. I have had Lyme disease, but I've been told by my physician that it's been eradicated. And I've had live cell analysis recently, and there was no indication of spirochetes in my blood. But I'm just wondering if, you know, it could possibly be a result of the Lyme. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay.
But any other possibilities that you can think of?
Is there anything in particular that you're doing with that arm as a repetitive motion?
No, and it's not the result of any injury that I recall of. I can't think of any repetitive motion that I do with that arm, no.
Okay. Well, have you had it checked out by a physician?
No.
Okay.
I might be going tomorrow, but I heard your show and I figured I'd give a call.
The best I can come up with is that if it's some sort of a bone spur, that can develop over time simply because you're a little bit out of balance with how
mm-hmm.
you're using your arms. But I would definitely suggest that you go to a physician and get that checked out.
But it is interesting that some of our leg, my leg is an inch shorter on one side than the other side. That happens, right?
Is it actually, though, or have you, is your pelvis just a little bit tilted?
Don't know.
Exactly.
Don't know. Okay, John, anything else?
It's probably that swagger of yours, Alan.
Yeah, it could be, could well be.
You need to quit strutting your stuff.
Yeah, you're not the first to suggest it. Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, let's go to Rob in Woodstock. Rob in Woodstock, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, doctors. I was curious. I have a long-term chronic condition in my left shoulder that's been diagnosed with bursitis and tendonitis. I have an uncle out west who told me something about called prolotherapy. Because I've tried different physical therapy and other doctors, chiropractors have worked on it. And he said that sometimes osteopaths do prolotherapy. And I was wondering if you know about prolotherapy and if you have any thoughts about it, if you do.
Hi, Rob. Yes, I do know a little bit about prolotherapy. And it can certainly be helpful with some conditions like tendonitis. I personally don't do it. But I am sure that if you did a little bit of searching online, you would be able to find a physician who can guide you a little bit better.
What is it?
Who would be doing it? Prolotherapy is injections in joints to stimulate an inflammatory response and promote healing.
I see.
Exactly.
So a lot of people who have very long-standing tendon or ligament issues will get prolo, and it can provide some relief.
And here I thought Rob, you needed a horse and a big stick.
Well, the reason I asked is that I do know there's somebody in Danbury, Connecticut, which is 2 hours. Saratoga is a little closer, so if you had been a practitioner, it would have been, you know.
But a lot of people are getting injections these days, of steroid injections for one thing or another, backs and things like
that. Yeah, yes. I've been that route with the steroids, and I don't really want to do more of that. I believe that this is actually sugar water, in a sense. That's what I was
A lot told. Of the time it is, yes.
You know, and that aggravates the tissues and actually, in theory, causes them to heal,
okay.
You know. Bye.
Rob, thanks, Nicole. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
That leaves one free phone open. Boy, you're popular. Let's go to Bruce in Pittsfield. Bruce, you're on.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Doctor, I'm a 63-year-old male, overweight, and I've had, in the last 12 years, three back operations in the lumbar region for herniated discs. My last MRI, which is not that long ago, showed spinal stenosis and a herniated disc. I'm treating that now with physical therapy. My question is, does inversion as a therapy work in stretching the spine at all? And your thoughts. Thank you.
And we need some definitions here. Inversion meaning upside down?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I've seen many inversion. I say it's a machine, but it's really like just tilts you backwards.
No, I got one.
Okay. So I'm curious of its effectiveness.
Bruce, thanks for your call. And I am sorry to say I really don't know a lot about inversion therapy. I have a couple of people who come in and into my office and will say that it helps them a little bit, but I really don't know that much about it.
Well, the other thing that you are so good at, obviously, is when people get vertigo. Now, one of the reasons people say that they get vertigo, doctors tell me, is, and I've had it, is that something in the inner ear can break loose and sort of float around and be where it's not supposed to be. However,
yes.
if you're upside down, my own theory is that this could be trouble.
Alan, you said you have one.
Yes, I do.
What do you use that for?
I don't use it anymore because one day I woke up with terrible vertigo. I had terrible vertigo after I used it. And that made me worry that I had, in fact, done what I knew this, I think it was the second time I had it, this vertigo to be, which is that your inner ear or there's something in your ear sort of breaks loose the cilia, and then you have this problem. So I don't use it anymore.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
That's quite all right.
Yeah. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. By the way, folks, this would be a pretty good time to tell you that anything that comes from the mouth of a political scientist, PhD, has no medical merit whatsoever, and you shouldn't even think about listening to me about anything. Let's go to Ray in Cohoes. Okay, Ray in Cohoes, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Doc.
Hello.
I was wondering about the efficacy of stem cells, where there is sufficient cartilage remaining to grow new cartilage. I've heard this, they do are being successful at it, and people in San Diego and also locally.
Thank you for calling in, Ray. Unfortunately, I really don't know much about stem cell use for cartilage. I specialize in manipulation with my hands, and that's 100% of my practice. I don't do injections, which I think you need if you're going to put some stem cells in to regrow knee cartilage.
Which is really interesting. This is really, hold on a second here, Ray. This is really interesting. You bring up an interesting point, and Thea gives an interesting response. Now, Thea, I would estimate, is what, about 5'2"?
Yes, I am.
About 5'2", thin. And what happens, Thea, when you get, you know, somebody coming in who's, you know, like 350 pounds and you do manipulation? How can you do that?
The short answer is leverage.
Is it leverage? Yeah.
Yes. And typically when I treat, people are laying on their back and I slide my hands underneath them or work over them. So I don't have people turning and twisting in a lot of different ways unless I really need them to. And then we figure something out.
Gotcha. Was that a bad question? Was that an unfair question?
No, it's not unfair.
No. Okay. Ray, thank you for the call. Great call. Appreciate
it.
1-800-348-2551. We're down to two calls. We have three free lines. As you can see, this goes fast. So if you just get online, you'll be there. 1-800-348-2551. Elizabeth in Rhinebeck, you're on.
Hi, my question is about tinnitus and if you have any suggestions for relief from it.
Now, you know, this is the second tinnitus call, but there can't be too many. Go ahead, Thea.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you for calling. Well, from my perspective as an osteopath, I think that getting treated with osteopathic manipulative medicine is a helpful thing for tinnitus. I have treated it for several people and they've gotten some relief. It does take a little bit of time, though, because typically there are a couple of issues that are going on that need to be addressed in the head.
So what is some of the issues that are going on
One being that the temporal bones, which I talked about before, which are essentially the ear bones, can be a little bit turned. One other thing that I've found is, interestingly, people will come in and they'll have started getting tinnitus after they have dental work done.
Ooh.
And they need a little bit of work in their mouth.
Mm.
So their upper teeth and their lower teeth need to be adjusted a little bit. The maxilla, which is the bone.
So you have to put your hand in somebody's mouth?
Yes, with gloves, of course.
And what happens if they bite down?
I've been very lucky so far. Nobody has.
Anything else on this, Elizabeth?
No, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. All five phones are in use. But now with Elizabeth gone, that's one free phone. Let's go to Sean in Albany. Sean, you're on.
Thank you very much for taking my call. So this fall, I was doing some yard work, raking leaves, and I happened to get a pain in my elbow, and the previous caller triggered me to ask this question. Went to my doctor, who prescribed me, he said, take a leave for like 4 weeks straight and see if that helps. And it didn't really help. I've determined I think it's golfer's elbow, and I'm wondering sort of what steps I have to take, or is this a symptom of a larger issue, potentially rheumatoid arthritis, which runs in my family? Usually the pain is there. I have a daughter who's about 30 pounds that I have to lift up and down constantly every day. And every once in a while I get pain in that elbow. And I was just curious if this is something that I can do through physical therapy or if I need something like surgery to fix the issue.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for calling. Again, my perspective as an osteopath is to have it treated with osteopathic manipulative medicine because that is a very typical kind of problem that I see in my office is pain that someone's had for a certain amount of time. They've taken some pain medication. It hasn't really helped, and they're not quite sure what to do next. A lot of times physical therapy isn't quite cutting it for whatever reason. And sometimes it's a very easy fix. Elbows and knees, if it's a small thing, can be adjusted quite simply.
Everybody I know has a bad knee, and a lot of people get them operated on as the first go. I mean, you would say that this is not the thing to do first, right?
It really depends on what the issue is, definitely.
Do you diagnose using the same x-rays and things that other people use?
Yes.
Well, great. And what would be a good example of an elbow, for Sean's question, that you were able to diagnose by looking at an MRI or an x-ray or CAT scan?
Well, typically when people come to my office, they've already had the whole gamut.
Yeah.
They've already had the x-ray and the MRI, and they know exactly what their issue is. And for whatever reason, whatever steps they've taken just haven't addressed the issue. And so that's when I come in.
And how much time do you spend with a patient?
An initial visit is an hour and a half long.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Sean, thanks for the call.
No, thank you very much. And now I know how much time to budget when I come in. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye, Sean. What are your contact information again one more time?
Sure. My phone number at my office is 518-587-0801. And I have a website, which is saratogaosteopathy.com.
Osteopathy.com. Okay, we'll go to Liz in Saugerties. Okay, one free phone. Go ahead, Liz. You're on.
Yes, I'd like to ask if manipulation could help TMJ.
Mm.
Hi, Liz. I love that question because the answer is yes.
good.
Typically, what I will notice has happened is that the lower jaw, which is the mandible, will be a little bit turned to one side, and the corresponding temporal bone, which seems to come up a lot in this hour, which is the bone that's right around where your ear is, will be a little bit jammed together. And after some work, you can make a little bit more space in there so that the TMJ symptoms can be relieved.
So how does it happen? Guys like me are just crunching their teeth all night long?
That can certainly be part of it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the dentist suggested I get a very expensive mouth thing.
I did.
I had TMJ 20 years ago and actually had arthroscopic surgery for it, and then it was fine until I went through a bad health episode and, you know, the stress, et cetera, brought the TMJ back.
Right. If you're in bed at night and you're clenching your teeth, you're setting that up for yourself pretty easily if you're really stressed out.
So do you recommend having some sort of mouth?
A device?
Well,
I don't think it's a bad idea, but again, because of who I am, because of what I do, I definitely recommend getting treated.
Okay. Liz, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Yep. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back. So Rusty and Matthew and Christine and Bobby, you all stay there, and we'll be right back with you.
Support comes from Ellis Medicine, a community healthcare network with 4 campuses serving New York's Capital Region, reinventing healthcare one patient at a time, ellismedicine.org. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org. Baby Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, New York, presenting Madhouse, the hidden history of insane asylums in 19th century New York. Book talk and signing with author Michael Keane this Saturday at 2 p.m. SchenectadyHistorical.org. Berkshire Bank, providing banking, insurance, and wealth management with over 90 locations in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont. Berkshire Bank, America's most exciting bank, berkshirebank.com. And from the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks.
We are back with Dr. Bordenave. Sandy, she is terrific. All the phones have been ringing for the entire time. And so one person actually just emailed Vox Pop and said, I've been getting out for walks more and more recently. A couple of weeks ago, I pushed myself a little too hard, and now I have pain in my knee that just won't go away. My doctor simply gave me some Vicodin and told me to give it some rest, but the pain still persists. Do you know of any kind of home remedy that I could try to get my body to heal?
And what is the name of this person?
Oh, this is from Mark.
Hi, Mark. My suggestion to you would be to look into taking some arnica if you don't want to take anything that's prescribed. It's a very simple homeopathic remedy. It's in sugar pills. And if it has to do with some sort of trauma, it can be helpful in expediting the healing process.
It's called arnica?
Arnica, yes. Okay. A-R-N-I-C-A.
Okay. Okay, good. Let's go to Rusty in Albany. All right, Rusty, you're on. Go, Rusty.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. Thank you, Doc. I have this problem, or I guess for a long time. My hip, like Mr. Shartok that was talking about, he seems like his leg was shorter than the other, but mine, I was told like my hip was out of whack. It's not exactly straight, or it's crooked. I was wondering what possibly could be done, if anything, now that I'm about 58 somewhere years old. So,
hi, Rusty. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And that is a great question. That brings up another thing that I really wanted to make sure that I got across this hour, which is that even if something has been going on for a long period of time, it doesn't mean that it can't get better. I have seen people who have had issues since they were children. And I saw them in their 70s, and whatever the issue was resolved itself after a few treatments. So if your hip is a little bit out of alignment, it may take a few treatments, but it could very well be improved by osteopathic treatment.
And then my leg would probably grow or look even again?
I don't know that it would grow, but it might be a little bit in better balance so that for your body, it's working better.
Okay. All right.
Rusty, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Right. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Going around the bend now. Let's go to Matthew in Saratoga. Matthew, you're on.
Yes. Hello. Yes, doctor. My question, I saw my orthopedist. For the last 3-4 months, I've had this pain in my rear buttocks, and I went to my primary care doctor. He referred me to an orthopedist. After I got an MRI, they said that there was a herniated disc causing sciatic nerve pain. He said my three options are physical therapy, the cortisone shots, or surgery eventually. I really would not like surgery, but he led me to believe, along with the physical therapist that I saw last week, that the disc could probably pop back into place on its own with correct physical therapy and adjusting my posture and stuff like that. I'm 30 years old. I don't want this pain to continue for the rest of my life. If I could do something, avoid surgery or the steroid shot, that would be great.
Hi, Matthew. I'm glad that you called in, because this is something that I see very often, is people who have herniated discs and they don't want to do surgery, which I don't know why anyone would really want to have surgery unless they really needed it. It is definitely something that can be helped with physical therapy. I know a number of people who've had some relief. I have also treated several people who had herniated discs, and they've actually had a lot of relief from it. It's a pretty common thing, and yes, after some time, if you're able to relax the muscles around the disc and create a little bit of space for that disc to go back in place, yes, it sometimes can go back in place, depending on how bad the herniation is and where it is.
Okay, I understand. Okay. Now, one other quick question. I'm a big exercisers, with weightlifting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, in particular, were there any huge ones I should really avoid? I know a lot of leg stuff irritates it more, putting any weight on my back with squats or something like that.
I'll give you a short answer, which is, this is the rule of thumb I give my patients. If it aggravates it, lay off of it until your back actually starts feeling better.
Matthew, I'm so sorry. I got a big crowd behind you, and we thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, doctor. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Christine in Warwick, New York. Okay, Christine, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I heard a couple people talk about their backs, and I just want to tell you that my experience. I have several herniated discs, starting from the L4 right to my low back, and it is excruciating painful. I'm 62. And I ignored it for a long time, over-the-counter stuff doesn't work.
Christine, could you get closer to the phone? You're busting up.
So I went to a chiropractor that does flexion distraction. I am a new person. No surgery, no pills, no shots. I was getting ready to get shots. I didn't want shots, and I didn't want surgery, because they really don't fix the problem. He did flexion distraction. I don't know, can I give his name? Am I allowed to?
No, prefer not to, but Christine, why don't you tell us what flexion distraction is?
Well, he has a special kind of table where he stretches my spine. And he also did give me exercises to do, stretch exercises for my performance muscle, and I do have pain, and I did have it on both sides of my behind, and that is the sciatica, but it can up the performance muscle. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. It needed to be stretched, and I do stretching and taking off weight. If you're overweight, it doesn't cure it, but it sure does help your spine not to have all that weight to carry. And changing my eating.
Okay, Christine, because we have so many people behind you, Doc, what do you got to say about this?
I agree with all of those things that you said. I think they're all very helpful for reducing back pain.
So, definitely. Christine, thanks for cluing us all in on this. Okay.
All right. You're welcome.
Right. And we'll go to Bobby on the Northway. Bobby?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. What can I help you with?
Well, I'm in my late 60s, and I'm still pretty active. I play tennis. But I have a knee that isn't, my right knee is just not like my left knee. I've had an MRI, and it's somewhat inconclusive. The doctor says it's really not worth operating on. You'll have to really screw it up worse to make it worth your while. But what happens is that it throbs at night sometimes, But then sometimes it doesn't. But sometimes it keeps me awake at night, and I'm trying to shift where my knee should go, put a pillow between my knee. Anyway, but I have noticed that I just had a blood test about vitamin E, and I was down around 29 to 30, which is the borderline, they say. And I have been taking a lot of vitamin E, and it seems to be getting better. So my first question is, why is it throb sometimes and not? And that is not a result of my tennis. It can throb for no reason at all. And then other times it doesn't throb at all. And what is your feeling about vitamin E?
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for calling in. My answer about the throbbing would be that the back of your knee is where the lymphatics go. And the lymphatics are basically the drainage system for all of the waste in your body. And so if your knee, for whatever reason that day, is a little bit tight, that can make the lymphatics not work quite as well, and it can cause pain in the knee. And are you sure it's vitamin E, or are you talking about vitamin D?
No, E is an Evelyn.
E is an Evelyn.
Or is it D? No, vitamin D. I'm sorry, you're right. It is vitamin
okay.
D. Yeah. David.
Yes. Vitamin D, if it's low, and most people in this area of the country are incredibly low, because unless you take it as a supplement, we don't really get it from the sun because of our latitude where we are. And if you take over 5,000 IUs a day, you're probably a little bit better off. So if you're taking between 5 and 10 a day, if you are low, and have it checked by your doctor first, please, 30 is pretty low. And that can cause some increase in your pain.
So what do we want, 50? Is that what we want? Is it
really pain-free levels or decreased pain levels are in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah, you got to get up kind of higher.
Right, and 5,000, which is what I take, is not a lot?
Well, 5,000 IUs a day is actually what your body needs to do its daily functions.
Uh-huh, great. Yes. Hey, Bobby, great call. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Joy in New Paltz. Joy in New Paltz, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My dad is 78 and is on Coumadin for some recent TIAs that he's had, and now he's experiencing a lot of back pain. And I was wondering if he could be adjusted by either an osteopath or a chiropractor.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for calling. And that is a wonderful question, because it's another thing I wanted to make sure I got across this hour, which is that when I treat, it's very, very gentle. Most of my patients fall asleep while I'm treating them. I don't throw people around. The manipulation is incredibly subtle, small motions. So yes, it's safe if you're on Coumadin to be adjusted.
Okay, fantastic. And does that go for a chiropractor as well, or just osteopaths? I mean,
I cannot speak to what any one chiropractor is going to do. You would have to you would have to ask them individually, I'm sorry to say. Oh.
Thank you, Joy. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Rachel in West Stockbridge. Rachel, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to know if the doctor was familiar with RSD, or reflex sympathetic dystrophy, and if she has treated anybody with that.
Hi, Rachel. Yes, I have treated people with RSD. Typically what happens is the sympathetic nervous system gets a little too amped up in the body. And we have two nervous systems in our body. One is the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight nervous system. And the parasympathetic is the rest or digest. And so when the sympathetic nervous system gets a little bit more amped up than the other one, you can develop RSD. And with treatment, yes, it can be, the pain can be decreased.
And how does it manifest itself, Beth? How does it manifest itself in terms of pain?
Typically, what will happen is somebody will have an area on their body that is just excruciating to the touch. They can't handle any pressure, anything on that area of the body, because it's just too painful.
Hmm. Is that what's happening to you, Rachel?
My injury was from a surgical injury about 10 years ago. They nicked a nerve in my neck, so I have that pain in my hand.
Oh, boy.
So I was just, you know, it's been now 11 years, so I just thought I would call anyway just to see if there was any, you know, any way that I could possibly try another something to help.
Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate your call.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right. We'll go to Jill in Waterford. Okay, Jill, you're on.
Hi. I have a very short question. Do you accept insurance, regular health insurance?
Hi, Jill. I do not take health insurance, but I do give all of my patients something called a super bill, which they can then send to their insurance company to try and get some kind of reimbursement.
Okay. Do osteopathic doctors in general not take insurance, health insurance?
I know that some do and some... Yeah, it depends on who it is. Typically, New York State is not the best for reimbursement for this kind of work, and so that is why a lot of them don't take insurance. But you can call around and ask.
All right. Okay. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you, Jill. Right. Okay. Let's go to Mimi in Stone Ridge. Okay, Mimi, you're on.
My brother, several years ago, incurred a serious concussion, and still to this day, he has real issues with his balance, and I'm wondering if your type of treatment can help.
Hi, Mimi. That's a great question. And it's actually one of the things that I have on my website that I do treat. And yes, concussion can certainly be treated with osteopathic manipulative medicine. The brain will get bounced around in the skull, and then as a result, people can have all kinds of interesting sequelae for months to years. And it is definitely something that can be treated. It usually takes a little bit of time. I was treating a hockey player last year. He'd had a number of concussions from getting hit in the face and all sorts of things. But it does help. Yes.
Okay. I really appreciate your help. Thank
you. You're welcome.
So that is so interesting because we have all of these different conditions that you get to treat.
Yes.
Do you like that? Do you like the fact that you have differences as opposed to always the same thing?
Yes, I do. I think it's great. I like that I can help people for a wide number of issues.
Okay, so here's Tim in Albany with a very good question. Okay, Tim, you're on.
Hi. Yeah. I used to work at the Cleveland Clinic, and about the only doc there that I considered a colleague was an osteopath who did all the OMT. And it seems like most doctors in orthodox medicine have a very difficult time conceiving how OMT works. And I, in fact, saw him for I was not emptying my bladder very well. And the regular docs wanted to put me on prostate drugs, which I didn't need. And so I went to my colleague. He adjusted my hips and pelvic floor muscles, and that seemed to do the trick. And I mentioned to a doctor that, you know, a urologist would never, ever, ever have thought of this. And they said even a osteopath urologist probably never would have thought of this. So I was wondering how your work is received by your quote-unquote colleagues and whatnot.
That's a really interesting question, Tim. And just like anything else, it really varies on who I'm speaking with. And a lot of the time it has to do with any kind of experience that they've had with somebody who does osteopathic manipulation. So if a physician is familiar with somebody or has been treated by an osteopath, then they're typically a lot more willing to send someone to see someone like me. But if they don't know a lot about it, it's the great unknown. And so they're a little more hesitant about it.
They almost seem shocked when it works, and it's supposed to work. So.
Okay, Tim, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Well, my friends, I think we're out of time. My apologies to April from Rhinebeck, who is not going to be able to be with us again. Just very quickly, if you could, Thea, give us your contact information.
Sure. My office number is 518-779-6... Oh, I'm sorry. 518... 587-0801. And the website is saratogaosteopathy.com.
Okay. I want to thank you, Thea, Dr. Thea Bordenave, Sandy, for joining us today. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Joe Makowitz, as always, for answering the phones. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall, who found Thea for us, and that's great. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed this program, if you enjoyed WMC, don't forget to go. We desperately need you to the lockbox and put something in. Go to WMC.org. Stay tuned now for a news update.